Big plans for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm playing a concerto on Sunday, so I'll be really glad when that is done.
What are you playing? Are you playing with the South Florida group?
It's with the University Orchestra here, and actually we've bitten off quite a challenge. It's a Christopher Rouse piece, the only trombone concerto and with orchestra that's ever won a Pulitzer Prize, and it was dedicated to Leonard Bernstein. And I call Christopher Rouse the heavy metal composer for orchestra. It's big, it's loud, it's heavy, and it's pretty physical, you know.
Trombonists just hate that sort of stuff.
Well, that's kind of why he wrote it for trombone, I think. But anyway.
Well, that's great. Are those sorts of gigs, is it more pressure for you, Tom, or less, playing on campus in front of your students and colleagues? Or, I mean, do you prefer that setting to playing on stage with a major orchestra? Where does it fall?
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, for me, it falls more along the lines of more difficult because these are my peers, my family, my colleagues, my students, you name it, you know. And then the other part of it is that I'm home and at work. So I'm having to do everything in addition to that. Whereas when I go on the road or play with an orchestra away, then that's pretty much the only thing besides travel that I'm doing.
So that's your focus.
It's much easier to focus and just play the trombone. Same with rhythm and brass, for that matter. I think now that all of us have day gigs, if you will, as in teaching jobs, we really value our time on the road. For one thing, it's kind of like a vacation. And the schedule is much less strenuous as well.
Yeah. Well, you've played some pretty choice gigs out there. I was looking at that 07 trip to Tuscany for a little festival. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
The jazz ensemble. I'm sorry.
It was with the jazz band, but that was nice too because, you know, we were all getting away. And we did it again this past summer, as a matter of fact, through Italy and a little bit in France.
Nice.
And I got to play with them as well. So it was, you know, and my family usually takes those kinds of trips with me. So it's nice. You know?
Well, that's great. What's that feeling like playing in a brass ensemble when you guys are really clicking?
Well, I mean, to this day, for me personally, I don't want to necessarily speak for the other five guys in the group, including our percussionist, but these are my favorite guys to play with. Nothing against the people I play with here or anywhere else. It's just that we've been together for, you know, 18 years now, and, you know, we know each other pretty well in mostly very good ways, musically as well as otherwise, so we're able to accomplish quite a bit. I mean, it becomes a band when you have the same personnel like that. And I think that, you know, it's a welcome thing because you're playing together so often. And as long as you get along with everyone, it's fantastic. And usually you do. I just would have never guessed that the group I ended up making a career with would be as great as this one. I mean, it sounds cliche or sounds like I'm overdoing it, but I'm really not. We get to play the music that we want to play. And if any one person in the group doesn't want to play something, then we won't do it. You know, it's a really nice democracy that way.
Yeah.
So the level of playing is just remarkable, and you can't help but play well when you're playing with these guys.
You've played with these guys so long. What's an example of a handoff or a compensating thing in a good or not so great way that you know the tendency so well that you're able to anticipate at that level?
You know, I kind of look at it in two ways. If someone's not having the greatest playing day for whatever reasons, or we might know something that's going on in their personal lives, then for one thing, one of the beauties and nice things of knowing that person and knowing each other so well musically and otherwise is that we can cover for them in a sense and make it so that, okay, I'm going to take the ball this concert and just help the group out as well as my friend here, you know, my colleague. But on the positive end of it, you're exactly right. I mean, we know how each other's breath is going to be at every moment. And most musicians know this, that you know, in chamber music, you need to breathe together to come in together because you don't have a conductor. But when you have a group of people that have played this long together, then there's usually no doubt,
wow,
you know, that it's going to happen. And the repertoire, I mean, I think most groups are this way, but we're very careful to make sure we know the music really well before we take it onto the stage. And that's something that's somewhat unique because a lot of the times groups that get together, or literally they get together, and even though they might know each other well, the rep is still new, And, you know, so it's not nearly as comfortable as it is with a group like Rhythm and Brass, where all of us are playing together. If for some reason we ever have to have a sub in the group, that still works pretty well because the sub is so comfortable. All of us are able to help him out the same way we would if one of the regular members, again, wasn't feeling well or something. It's a win-win situation, it really is. And by the way, for this concert, it is going to be the regular members in the group, if anybody's wondering. So we really enjoy that. It gets more and more complicated as life goes on with our lives, since we live in separate places. Sometimes something comes up and we have to get someone else to fill in for us, which, again, it's still able to present Rhythm and Brass that way. But most of the time, it's the real guys, the regular guys in the band. And with that, you know, we're able to put together the best product we could possibly do for the audience.
All right. Well, we'll look out. Rhythm and Brass is in town. That's great. Let's dive into this program a little bit, because it really it speaks to your all's musicality and reach and everything. This is they're titling it Rhythm and Brass on Your Radio Dial. Tell me your philosophy of music and programming, Tom. This is a really interesting one.
A lot of times for instrumentalists, brass players or wind instrumentalists, or, you know, that go to school perhaps and study, and, you know, they mostly focus on a couple of genres, if that. So one genre would be classical music and the other would be jazz. And what really happened, maybe in a way by accident, with the six of us in Rhythm and Brass, is we're all on the same page as far as the types of music that we enjoy. And that is, these are the most open-minded guys that I play with in terms of their knowledge of the diverse styles. And that includes, we try not to put ourselves in a category. And Duke Ellington just happened to be, you know, who's one of our heroes, exactly that. He apparently really didn't want to be labeled as a jazz writer or player or band. He wanted to cover all the bases. And so we definitely follow that philosophy. Louis Armstrong was also quoted as saying that. So on the program, you will hear some Led Zeppelin, some Bach, some Debussy, some Beatles, some Pink Floyd, as well as some original music in the band that often incorporates lots of different elements in the music. And so now that we're fairly deep into the 21st century, I feel like that, wow, Rhythm and Brass is, we're there. I mean, you know, because now when you hear composers like Christopher Rouse or modern composers, they will often incorporate many different styles, depending on what they grew up with. And, you know, baby boomers are younger, grew up on rock and roll, a lot of them. So, you know, so that comes into play. And, you know, we'll even throw in some Hank Williams and whatever else comes to mind, especially if we're improvising.
I guess the niche has come to you after these many years. I think of a group like Jeremy Kittle and having his 18-year-old cellist belt out a Hey Joe, you know, by Jimi Hendrix, and making it sound just sweet. It's anything goes as long as it's done well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the last thing we want to do is turn it into an instrumental version of a pop tune, which in turn could be played as they say, as elevator music. And, you know, we try to keep it as authentic and real as possible. Two of us, myself and Charles Villarubia, the tubist, happen to be from Louisiana in the New Orleans area. And so that's influenced a lot of what we do on stage as well. And brass bands, interestingly, at least I think, especially since Katrina happened, ironically, I guess, has really come to the forefront in many ways, that New Orleans style of playing. And we're thrilled about it because it's just made a lot more people aware of that style, and Rhythm and Brass happens to, you know, the instrumentation fits. So,
well, that's something that a lot of folks don't even, they're not aware of. I mean, they may hear a Dirty Dozen brass band, great ensemble, but in New Orleans, if you get off the beaten path any given time of year and hear just some second line going on, the quality of the young players there, is particularly in the brass area, is just through the roof what you hear on the streets.
Yeah, you know, having grown up there, and then again, I don't want to speak for Charlie, but now when I walk, maybe I've become a little more sentimental since I don't live there, but when I go back and I walk through the French Quarter, I agree. I think the quality has gotten higher. And that's the way it should be. I mean, the quality's, I'm happy to say, has gotten higher in every genre, really. I mean, there are things that, as a trombonist, you know, there are things that are played now on the trombone that I would have never dreamed could happen 20 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's moving in the right direction. I mean, some people are more negative and think, oh, you know, it's hard to make a living, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm more on the positive side because, you know, I mean, rhythm and brass is kind of that way, too. And I feel like, you know, that's the only way you can really survive and continue to enjoy it, you know.
Well, you guys are on, some people do this better than others in terms of marketing and finding their niche and working within that. And you all seem to do it extremely well in terms of commissioning new works and raising funds. Talk about just that aspect of, you know, carving out your own particular, I keep coming back to the word niche, but for lack of a better way of putting that, and just passing on your information and that through residencies, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, you know, we want to encourage students, especially in the academic world, and when we arrive at a university like North Carolina School of the Arts and get to work with students, that's, by the way, as an aside, one of our favorite things to do. I mean, that's what we do here. Everyone in the group does that as a living now during the day, if you will, at various universities. And to get outside of our institutions and go elsewhere and work together, the six of us, it's just tremendous. And so we're able to share not only things about how to play your instrument better and play the music better, but also the business side of it and the way you should be entrepreneurial. And the message I think that we try to push is that you need to play, make sure you're doing music that you want to do, you know, as a group or as an individual, and that will make it much easier to market and much easier to find your niche, because it will be you as an individual or you as a group coming up with your own thing, in a sense. And sometimes you do have to lean, perhaps, on groups that came before you or that might even exist and take their idea, but then eventually you make it your own, you know. So we don't think that there's anything wrong with, you know, as we do sometimes, doing something from, say, Empire Brass or, you know, lifting from Ellington and making it our own. But we do encourage them to also do the arranging themselves. So they should be, you know, multiple people in the group doing their arrangements for that particular group, because they're going to know their strengths and weaknesses, and it's going to be the way they want it to sound and conceptualize it. And also have a composer in the group or more than one composer and do as much original material as possible.
Well, that's right, in the Duke Ellington tradition as well, right? He knew his instrumentalists inside and out and wrote, well, he and Mr. Strayhorn wrote for them expertly.
Oh, you're absolutely right. They really did focus on the individual colors and sounds that their players made, and that's what made the Ellington sound and Strayhorn sound so unique, you know, no doubt.
Are you going to be teaching some master classes as well during your residency, Tom?
We will, both as a group as well as individuals. In fact, one of our members, Wiff Rudd, one of the trumpeters, just published a book talking about collaboration and collaborative practicing. And so I know that that's the title of one of the master classes that, you know, Wiff Rudd will primarily run, but I think the rest of us perhaps will be there as well.
In that trombone master class, what are some common themes, maybe one or two that come to mind, that you cover in, say, a trombone master class with students?
Well, you know, some of it is trombone technique, such as, you know, taking a good breath and playing in tune. I mean, one of the unique things about a trombone, as opposed to the other instruments, even in a brass group, is that it's one big slide. And so it's like a giant tuning slide. So it's the easiest instrument to play in tune, and it's also the easiest instrument to play out of tune. So you really have to focus on what you're doing in that regard, you know. And then, of course, my favorite thing to do in master class is have the students come up and play, and a lot of different ideas come up from that standpoint, both the rep that they might choose to play, as well as, you know, style and how to figure out how to play the style of whatever it is they're performing. And then, of course, all of the technical things that might come up as well. So otherwise, you know, people get bored, and I do too, if I'm just sitting there talking. know.
What do you love most about that dynamic? I mean, it's a very intimate scenario playing, that teacher-student relationship.
Well, you know, in music, there's a lot of one-on-one teaching that is still practiced, and I think very valuable, because each person is different. And so, you know, the main philosophy, I think, for a lot of teachers is, and including me, is, you know, you want to teach the student to teach themselves. And so you ask a lot of questions and try to get the student to answer them without, you know, spoon feeding them. You know, it hasn't stopped yet. I think when it does stop, perhaps that's when I'll retire, in that I'm always learning from the student at least as much as hopefully they're learning from me. I mean, you know, again, that sounds cliche, but it is so true.
I've heard that many, many times. That is true. I just appreciate you taking time out to chat with me. I hope we can pack that hall. I think it's going to be at Watson Hall. It's a nice little recital hall. So that'll be
That's
good.
Great. Yeah, I've never been there. I don't think the other guys have either. And then for me, Wade Wiest, who's the chair of the department at North Carolina School of the Arts, was the chair here at USF. And I know him quite well. We played in the faculty brass quintet here together. And he's just a wonderful musician and a great guy. So it'll be great to catch up with him. So it's somewhat even more special in that way for me because of that.
Yeah. Tom, just great to get to catch up with you on the phone, and we'll look forward to hearing you here in lovely, lively Winston-Salem.
Yeah, David, I look forward to meeting you in person, man.
All right, well, take it easy and have safe travels.
All right, it was a pleasure. Thanks.
Right back at you. Bye-bye.